This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng with Wong Xiaoning. And we're running a poll right now. What attracts you to visit a mall? Is it the size? Is it the retail and F&B offerings? Is it the location? Or do you actually prefer shopping online? And right now, we have some votes, just under 100 votes. And 65% of the people are going to the mall for the retail and F&B shopping. And in contrast, 10% of the voters want to shop online.
We should have had another category, aircon.
Aircon.
Because we know Malaysians always, it's hot lah. Yeah, let's go to the mall lah. Then we don't have to be out in the sun and enjoy the free aircon, Which probably explains why sometimes when you go to the mall, you don't see anybody carrying any shopping bags.
Yeah, that's right. And that's going to be a problem for the shopping malls because the foot traffic continues to fall in the mall and the malls and retailers are expected to face a very long and uncertain future. Malaysia actually has witnessed a surge in mall constructions over the past decade, particularly within the Klang Valley. And according to NAPIC, which is the National Property Information Centre, 12 new shopping complexes are expected to be completed in the first half of this year alone.
Yeah, you're injecting as many as, injection of as much as 350,000 square metres of space into this market. Now, overall, the rise in retail space across Malaysia has reached 3.31 million square metres in the first 6 months. Now, that's a rise from 3.3 last year. Now, Seville's head of retail services, Muli Menon, told the Malaysian Reserve that strong and well-established malls are seeing some growth, but not high overall growth numbers. So the overall growth is still slow.
So wait, hang on. 3.3 million square meters. That's in square feet. How much is that? Like 30 million, is it?
A lot. Sorry, I can't do the conversion, but that's like a lot of retail space in Malaysia.
Okay, so 30 million, and my math could be wrong here. 30 million. We have a population of 30 million as well. That's one square feet of mall space for every man, woman, and child in Malaysia. Even babies that are born, they have got one square foot of mall space devoted to them.
Yeah, we seem to like malls a little bit too much, and there's also just way too much malls, which explains why from January to June period this year, occupancy rates of shopping complexes actually dropped 0.2 percentage points to 79.7% compared to last year. So it's just a question of too many malls for too few people. And this, in some states, the case is even worse. So Johor has occupancy of 77.7%, the worst being actually Pahang, which is 66.5% only.
That's staggering. That means one third of the space is not rented out, empty, which causes people to be very unattracted to visit those malls anyway. I mean, you don't want to go into an empty-looking mall. Penang is quite alarming too. 72%, only one quarter or more of the spaces, mall space in Penang is empty.
I think what's interesting is if you look at the performance of the different malls, and you can see that from the REIT results that have come out. So you're talking about the likes of CMMT, IGB and Pavilion REIT. Clearly in Malaysia, I call it the two-tier mall system. So you have tier
one. The high-class one and the not-so-high-class one, right?
Well, it doesn't even have to. It doesn't even have to be high class. It just has to be the premier malls. And whether it is high class, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Come on. No. Pavilion.
Pavilion is there for sure. So you've got the likes of, and this is the Klang Valley case study. So if you look at Klang Valley, okay, the top malls definitely, KLCC is up there, Pavilion is up there, Mid Valley, which isn't necessarily very high end, Gardens, which is also part of Mid Valley. And of course, One U, or now the eternal debate, OU.
OU or One U?
One U. Same place, guys. Don't get confused. It's not a new mall. And we have Sunway Pyramid. Those six malls, I think at the top of my head, do very well. The occupancy is definitely higher than 95%. They can push positive rental reversions. There's a constant AEI, Asset Enhancement Initiative, to improve the malls. So these malls, in terms of the yield, actually probably around hover 5% because they're just so popular. They can fill these malls very well. Then you have, I call the rest of the malls. Mm-hmm. And some of them are even doing very badly. For example, SS2 Mall. Can anybody remember that? I think it opened for a year and it is now shutted up, right?
No, it's longer around.
Yeah. So what?
And it's a huge problem because it's becoming this wasteland.
And has it?
Whoever wants to take over the piece of land that SS2 Mall currently sits on will have a lot of work to do. In fact, it's not just the land cost, right? It's the whole cost of actually refurbishing the very dilapidated mall at this point in time. Wan Utama is, it's 20, 30 years, right? Is it 20,
yeah.
30, 30?
Wing 1, Phase 1 was 30 years ago, you're right.
30
Julian.
Years, right?
Yes.
It's an amazing feat how they have kept this mall going for so many decades. And the other day, actually, I went up to the very top floor of Wan Utama to have my passport photo being taken, right? Someone wanted a passport photo. It's like 28 ringgit for 6 pieces of passport. I mean, on the top floor of Wan Utama, where I think anecdotally the traffic wasn't very high, I mean, why would I want to pay 28 ringgit? And which is why, you know, the online models are becoming very popular, because you have information. With the online models, you get a lot of information and people are shopping online more and more.
Yeah, but it doesn't take away from the fact that malls continue to do quite well. I think a function of it, of course, is our weather. We don't have that many outdoor options available, especially in this recent rain, right? So everyone flocks to the mall. But the question is, what is the success factor of these malls versus these other malls which have failed? I think some of which is that, you know, you're talking about size. Size matters in Malaysia. People want variety. So as a mall manager, you need to have a good mix of F&B of different price points and also retail of different price points.
Yeah.
The layout has to be good. The catchment area also has to be right. I mean, that probably explains why some suburban malls didn't do well, because there's just too many of them within a small area. I mean, if we just look at Petaling Jaya or this area around us, Damansara, it's a big fight, right? Because you've got Tropicana Tree, you've got Atria, you've got Starling, all within like 2-3 kilometers.
Glow Damansara is not doing
Glow,
very well.
Yeah.
It's quite empty actually.
So people rather in a way flock to 1U or OU, because you can find everything there in
what about
one
Starling?
Place.
I mean, Starling and 1U seem to be very popular, very organized actually around the local infrastructure. Starling, for example, has a lot of parking. So that is kind of a catchment, right? A convenience is a kind of catchment to make people go in there. And I don't see any empty
parking lots. Yeah.
No, I mean, parking lots,
oh,
there are
like
the empty
shops.
Lots. There are no empty lots within Starling or, for that matter, Wan Utama.
Yeah, so mall managers make a big difference, right? They also need to kind of get the right formula for the area. So it's a question of, okay, what kind of tenants do you need that will attract a mixture of your market? So whether it is the young families or retirees or students or young people. So there has to be some cleverness about the mall. It's not just, oh, let's just fill it 100% and then the mall will do well.
For sure. You need some kind of a secret sauce there. But, you know, this cleverness is appearing online, because 11/11 or Singles Day is coming up in about 2 weeks' time. And they've tried to come up with a lot of things. Like Shopback Malaysia Country GM Eddie Han told the Malaysian Reserve, there is the 9/9 and the 10/10 events as well. 9th of September, 10th of October. I mean, they create these kind of days just to make people go and shop online.
But it works, because 9/9 saw 4 times the number of transactions, while 10/10 saw the 2 times as many transactions as normal. Now, the big one is actually the 11/11 and the 12/12, you know. They are expected to see performances increase by as much as 4-fold. Now, do you fall for this, Julian? These 11/11, 12/12?
Well, it's all down to pricing, right? I mean, if you can get some good deals out there for stuff that you already want, or even for stuff that you don't want, but because the prices have been slashed by 75%, you definitely go in there and get something.
Exactly, which is why, I mean, online retailers are getting cleverer and cleverer about it, right? So even like the likes of Lazada, they've got this new thing called Shoppertainment strategy. Okay, so that's part to attract a record number of participating merchants and consumers. So last year, for example, Lazada streamed its super show in collaboration with K-pop co-ed group. I don't know how to pronounce it. Card.
Card. I mean, that will definitely get the crowd. I mean, you're going to go shopping on Lazada just because you saw the K-pop group, right?
I don't know who this card is, so it won't work for me. But clearly, it works for the market that they're interested in, right? So I guess there's different strokes for different folks. I mean, even, and For example, AliExpress, I mean, they are also looking to widen their geographical reach. So they are looking at hooking up merchants from as far away as Russia, Spain, Italy and Turkey to participate in their own festivals. So it's so many things going on at the same time for these online merchants.
I mean, when you go shopping online and a lot of the merchants online and even a major one like Taobao or even Amazon in the US, they have the price advantage because they're able to save on a lot of things. For example, warehousing costs, inventory management, and they're able to deliver your goods to you in a very timely manner. You want it today, you order it today, you get it tomorrow, a few days later. So you're in a position to actually plan your shopping and get some discounts on top of that to boot.
Without ever leaving your house, regardless of the weather.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you want to go out and experience the aircon. I mean, you order online and then you just go to the malls to experience the aircon, right?
Yeah, the question is then all these guys, there's a lot of them. So you've got 11th Street, Shopee, Lazada. These are just the names in Malaysia. And of course, the big ones in China are your Taobao, right? I want to know whether there will be increasingly industry consolidation, whether we can absorb all these. Because when you think about the freebies that they hand out, are these guys running at a loss?
I don't think so.
You think they're making money?
I think that there's a lot of supply anyway. They're getting a lot of bulk discounts. So it's very good for a successful, even if you want to do something like a gig economy, selling stuff online, trading online goods, you can actually make quite good money from there.
Yeah, I suppose this is something that definitely we will have in Malaysia and across the world as online merchant shopping becomes the norm.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.